Welcome to the Lazy Actor Podcast with your host, Yvonne Juanes Ruiz. Here's episode one.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Lazy Actor. This is the podcast, the show that goes through all the great acting books in history, finds the key information so that you don't have to because you're lazy. We also take a look at some of the amazing stories that people have in all these great books. And with me is Tim, our producer. Hey, Tim. My name is Yvonne from The Actor's Place. Tim is from Radio Studios. All right. So, Tim, audience, why this podcast? So I've been an actor for about 10 years now. And one of the things I remember is I always really wanted to read all these books on acting, but I just always found them really hard to get through because they're not like a fiction. And they're not even biographies. They're just kind of like informational. So many of them, there are moments when they have these great stories and all these great things to learn. But the problem is they're boring to get through. All of you listening, if you're an actor, you've heard of all the great books you should read. How many of you actually read? So that's why I'm going to do all the work, because it has been my 10-year anniversary as an actor. And so I thought about revisiting all the books that I read, the ones that I thought were really useful. And in this episode and the series of episodes coming up, we are going to be covering chapter by chapter Audition by the mighty Michael Shurtleff. The title reads, "The famed Broadway and Hollywood casting director reveals everything an actor needs to know to get the part." Audition, with an introduction by Bob Fosse. I'm pretty sure unless you're a dancer, you would not know who Bob Fosse is. Do you know who Bob Fosse is, Tim?
I certainly do. All That Jazz.
All That Jazz. He's actually, if you watch on YouTube, you can check out, there is a video that shows how Bob Fosse essentially created a lot of Michael Jackson's moves.
Really?
Yes, and it's either to Billie Jean. Yeah, I think it's to Billie Jean, where it's just Bob Fosse dancing to Billie Jean. And you see all like the kicks, the little hip shakes and everything, all from Bob Fosse.
Wow.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Michael didn't come up with it, but I am saying Bob Fosse might have inspired him. So let's get right into it. This episode is going to be all about the prologue. Now, usually I skip things like the prologue, but as I was reading it, I noticed there's some serious truth and information about this. Because if you're starting to be an actor, if you want to learn about becoming an actor, the prologue kind of gives you some of the realities. So this is the first little quote I highlighted. "The actor's life is a difficult one, not glamorous, most of the time, and filled with disappointment and rejection and hard work the rest of the time." And this is very true, because here's the best way I can describe the actor life. It's not hard day to day. And we'll talk about auditioning and all that kind of stuff in the book and audition. But the day to day of being an actor is just normal. There's nothing really that hard or that easy about it. The thing that makes the actor's life hard is not being rejected for auditions. It's the opportunity cost after time. Actor for 5 years, you're still living the same way you did when you were in university, for example. You're sharing a room, you got some job you hate, maybe making a little bit more than minimum wage, or you're doing odd jobs trying to get by. After 10 years, you're still doing that. Mm-hmm. Whereas all your friends have like houses and careers. But as an actor, the thing that makes it so hard is not the audition, it's not getting the part. It's when you look back years later and ask yourself, did I just waste the best years of my life? Mm. Because here goes the other quote. "The truth is that for every actor who gets hired for a part, 50 or 100 or 200 did not. Because there is way too much supply and not enough demand." Even now, where most people will agree with this, there's too much content. For an actor, this is great. There's never been more work out there, but there's way more actors, and still there's way more actors than there are parts to give them. I say this to people all the time, and this is not a brag. It's going to start sounding like a brag, okay? I would say I'm probably in the top 5% of actors in that I make an income from acting. I book roughly 3 parts a year. I looked through it. For over the past 10 years, I booked roughly 3 parts a year, everything from a day player, meaning it's just one or two lines and you're only on set for the day, to like a guest star, which is like 4 to 5 days. So I averaged it out, and I work every year about 3 roles, roughly 6 days,
mm-hmm.
2 days per role. That's pretty successful for most actors. I'm going to be straight up with you. Booking once a year is like, people are like, I booked a part. And it's great money when you can get it. But even still, and I'm probably in the top 5%, I make nowhere near enough money to support myself. And that's some reality right there. All the people, and I'll get more into the prologue in a minute, but I got to just get something off my chest because it's like, it's bringing it up and I get frustrated. Steve Harvey did this. And Steve Harvey, if you're listening, you're an idiot. Okay. You're a very successful man and you're funny and you're great, but the advice you gave once is just jump right into it without a parachute. And if you do it, you'll be fine. Said for the one person who did it and was fine, but not for the 100 others that did it and nothing came of it. Tim, you were an actor for many years. You're still acting on occasion, I think.
Yeah.
Would you say? Yeah.
I'm more voice acting than
you're
I am.
You're more voice acting?
Yeah.
I know a ton of actors in their 50s, in their 60s, who jumped in without a parachute. And guess what? They're still living with roommates. They're still trying to find odd jobs. They're sometimes worried how they're going to cover the rent because they jumped in without a parachute too. The people who say that to you are assholes. And I'm not sure if we should be swearing on this podcast first episode. I don't know.
It's your podcast.
But parental restrictions, motherfucker. But seriously, dude, here's the thing. There, and this is studied. This is outside of the world of acting. You can go and look at the research in psychology that people who are successful tend to attribute their own personal traits to their success, irrespective of what actually happened. And it's always after the fact.
Right.
So jumping in without a parachute, understand that if you do that, it's the opportunity cost that you have to face. And jumping it without a parachute is not a solution. In fact, it'll probably make you kind of boring. Because if all you do is live and breathe acting, and maybe you need to do that for a couple of years, but if that's you for 10 years, what else you got going on in your life? Sometimes in casting, they want to know who you are and you got nothing to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, that's not good.
Shut up, Tim. No one wants to hear your opinion. They're here for me.
Okay.
You're doing great. No, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Unendurable, such a life for most of us. And that's why most actors fail. Because they have nothing else going on in their lives or no way to find success or joy or income. So you start acting 2 to 3 years, all of a sudden you start getting a full-time job, you still call yourself an actor. And this is many people you probably know too. And then you realize 5 years later, you've got a full-time job, you're not really acting. Because it's a hard life to do. There's no money in it. There's no growth. You could be an actor for 20 years and still be going out for guest parts with someone who's been acting for 2 years.
It's a humbling profession.
It is a humbling, humbling profession. Now, the whole book is basically wrapped around 12 guideposts that Michael Shurtleff has done. And if you don't know who Michael Shurtleff is, trust me, he is an accomplished casting director. He's passed away. But he worked with some of the greats, mainly in theater and in the later part of his life in film and television. So a lot of the stuff in this book has to do with theater, but he does relate it to film and television, and I will relate it to film and television. There are no rules for the creative act. It is the exception to the rule that interests us the most. But there are definite questions that the auditioning actor should ask himself. It isn't necessary for you, the actor, to like yourself. Self-love isn't easy to come by for most of us, but you must learn to trust who you are. There is no one else like you. And that sounds really self-helpy, I'll be honest with you. When I read that line, and this is not a lot of fluff in this book, but that was a fluff line. But what I think he kind of goes into, and this is one of the things he talks about. Instead of trying to find the character, ask yourself how you as a person would react to that situation. That's the underlining thing. Because what he talks about, and he says this a couple times, a lot of times characterization means identifying all the things you're not doing and trying to find the right type of character versus How would you approach this? Sam Rockwell talked about auditioning once, and he said, I don't even know why I'm auditioning. People know my personality. They know I can only do it my one way. So why do they need to see it? They either know that's right or not. Because Sam Rockwell is a great actor, but he has that certain kind of charisma and energy in all his roles. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So trying to find a character and be someone who you're not kind of makes you the cheesy actor. You know, when there was someone who's being like, you can just totally tell they're trying to be like the type A alpha or the geeky, and they over-exaggerate things, is because they're trying to find a character.
Right.
Not being themselves in that situation. Like, what would you be like if you had a machine gun and had to lead a bunch of people into war? I don't know. I would have to imagine it, take a minute to think about it, versus being like, thinking about Clint Eastwood or Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise doing it and trying to be them. So that was one of the big things in the prologue. Characterization is not useful in any way. Going into acting is like the admission is being like admitted into an insane asylum. Because you're doing something that you know you probably won't succeed at. And here's another big part of success. He says most actors make their living off commercials. Because a commercial is a really good amount of money. It's better money for a day of a commercial than for a day on set, film and television, because a commercial will give you a buyout, sometimes residuals, and you can make a lot of money,
right?
But it isn't acting.
Well, I take exception to that, being making most of my money from commercials.
All right. Well, you know what, Tim? We will agree to disagree, because let me concede this. In commercials, they might want certain characters or certain types of energy. And as an actor, you bring those characters and there's energy.
Right.
But how deep are you going?
In 30 seconds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the majority of people who start becoming actors, it's because they did a play and they felt like they found some emotion. And you're like, you know what? I want to do this for the rest of my life. I want to fulfill my dreams, which means you're going to fail because you have this la-la foo-foo thing and you're not seeing it as a job.
Right.
Tell me if this is true. You see acting as a job.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. These commercial things, it's not like you're trying to find some deep emotional truth. You're being professional. You're giving them the kind of delivery they want. You're preparing in advance and you're working on the day.
Well, for sure. I mean, but you're committing to the project. But in the back of your mind, you're always recognizing that there's a paycheck and the client has to have what they want.
Yeah. It's not about making an impact. You know,
well, no.
It's about, you're making an impact, make somebody buy those jeans.
That's right.
Hey, check out these jeans. Do you want to buy some jeans? That's right. It's going to be doing commercials. It's not getting into that deep work. It's like when you go to business school and you graduate from business school, they make you feel like you could run a Fortune 500 company, but really you know nothing. I think acting is the same way. You'll take an acting program and you'll come out and be like, I've done all the Streetcar Named Desire, Tennessee Williams. I cried on stage 3 times. And guess what? Nobody gives a shit. And then like, yes, but can you look like this Twizzler is sour? This is a little tangent. There's a great show on Netflix that you should all watch. It's called the Kleminsky Method.
I've seen it. Yeah, Douglas. Yeah.
Michael Douglas. The best way I can describe the life of an actor, according to Michael Shurtleff, if you're getting most of your money from commercials, and for the first several years, this is true. Because most agents won't want to put you out there with high-end casting directors if you're new. You're going to be doing commercials. And there's this part where Michael Caine's character is like, what is the actor's job? And he's sitting on the stage with a light on him and he's saying it's about finding truth, about finding elements. And he goes into this kind of monologue about the power of the actor and finding truth. And then one of the people in the audience goes, puts his hand up and he's like, yes. He's like, that's all really great, but I have a hair commercial audition tomorrow. How can I use that in my hair commercial?
Exactly.
That's some reality right there, homie. I'm telling you right now. That is reality. You're gonna want to cry in every audition you do, especially as a new actor. And they're like, yes, but we need to sell these mutual funds. So just pretend like you're uptight. Can you do it with a nasal E sound? Oh. You get that kind of stuff, right? So it goes back in, don't find character. The first change to undertake from your performing method and learning how to audition is to give up character and use yourself. Now that's balanced with this. No one wants to pay $15 or even $5 to see the everyday. You can get that right around your street or in your home or on TV. What we want to see at an audition is the real you reacting to a remarkable situation in a remarkable and unique way. And I'll put it to you another way from a casting director. And I'm not going to say who he is, but if you know, if you're from Vancouver, which is Hollywood North, mm-hmm. big chunk of Hollywood North, mm-hmm. you'll probably, and you were an actor from the 70s to like the 2000s, you auditioned for this guy. He was one of them. He handled almost all the work right. in Vancouver for years. And he was cold as ice. He was the kind of guy that just made you nervous thinking about, oh, I got to do an audition for this guy. And they had him go and speak to a bunch of acting students. And there's a video on YouTube. Maybe we'll find it. We can link it into this. And it's basically like he's sitting there just crushing dreams. He's like, can I have your heart? Crush. Give me your heart. Crush. You'll never make it. Crush. And one of the things he says is, great, you're realistic. So what? Nowadays, if you're in the waiting room, we already know you can act. But what is the unique character you bring to it?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is a lot of actors will start with the unique thing, doing something weird for the sake of doing something weird versus how is that rationalizing the character in the audition?
They're trying to stand out.
Yeah. First, be realistic. This is what I do. I first do a very realistic how I would do it if this was me in the real world. And once I think I really found the realism and the actual underneath, like what's really going on in the scene, then I start thinking about places that I can have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another little quote that I love. Okay, characterization means chiefly what their characters won't do. And he talks about how in the audition, he said, oh, why can you try doing this? And the actor's like, I don't think my character would do that. And it's always that.
Yeah.
Half the readings I see are about people who wish they weren't there. I want to see an actor who has found a reason for being there and a relationship that makes him want to confront the other character. So, you know, this is the big trope. What do you want? Well, I hate him and I want to leave. So leave. That's the big one. In all acting classes, they talk about that. But when you try and figure out what you want, ask yourself why you want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause otherwise you would leave.
Yeah.
Which I thought was this reminded me of when I was first learning how to act in every conflict. You're like, I hate them. Really? Then why are you talking to him?
Mm-hmm. So what is your reason for actually staying?
On stage, yeah. What's your reason for actually going on with this horrible and uncomfortable situation?
Mm.
And that is a prologue. That is everything in the prologue. Then I think there was already a big chunk of stuff there. Information to get ready to be an actor. And, you know, there's a video series that we have on The Actor's Place. theactorsplace.org, little plug, where he talks about how to be, like, if you want to get started on the journey being an actor, and the first thing you have to do is take the test. And this is the emotional test, and I'm going to tell it to you, Tim. What are you most self-conscious about? You don't have to answer it out loud, okay? Think about your most self-conscious. Are you overweight? Are you short? Are you tall? Do you have bad breath? Are you socially uncomfortable? Here's the emotional test. You got to find that thing that really makes you uncomfortable and ask yourself this. Are you willing to have that being the main reason you get parts?
Wow.
Because here's the thing. When you get started off, it's look. Before it used to be about character, but a lot of times, especially in film and television, it's look first. Do they look the part? Then can they act? And that's something I've noticed in my personal experience and from like anecdotal stories. But if you're fat, are you okay being cast as the fat, stupid guy? The fat, dumb guy? The fat, dumb girl? Let's be real, because that will be something that literally you might get in a breakdown. That's part of that discipline. When Michael Shurtleff talks about you have to be insane, is you have to be able to embrace these things. Mm-hmm. Are you old? Are you creepy? No one wants to be creepy. We have a mutual friend, big, tall. I'm going to call him T because I don't know.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
I just lip-synced his name. But he had this really interesting thing. And he was a brilliant actor. And man, he was great. He made good choices. But he was exceptionally tall. And when he tried to smile, he always looked like a child molester. He just looked. And he told me one day, he's like, you know what? I used to always fight this. you know, in my headshots, everyone tries to be good looking, tries to look good. And he's like, I'm just, no matter what I do, I just come across as exceedingly creepy.
Right.
So I'm just going to embrace it.
Embrace it and work steady.
Work steady. Instead of getting a headshot that makes you look good, and we'll talk more about headshots later, get a headshot that makes you look like the thing you're most self-conscious about. If you can handle that, you've already taken your first step. Just like a prologue, the first step. And that brings us to the end of this episode. And I'm going to end with the final line in the prologue. You have to be crazy, thank God, to want to do this. Thank you all for joining us for the first episode of The Lazy Actor. My name is Yvonne. With me is Tim. The Lazy Actor is a co-production of Radio Studios and theactorsplace.org. Questions, comments, all the information, you can always reach out to us on our Facebook page, and we'll include that in later. If you have ideas for books you want us to cover, let us know. Next episode, we are covering Chapter 1 of Audition. And Chapter 1 is called Practical Aspects of the Audition, the Physical Logistics. Forget emotion, character, all that kind of stuff. Hit your mark. Perfect. That's what we're going to be discussing. Mike Shortlift's ideas. The book is Audition. Have a great rest of whatever day it is you're listening to this. We'll see you next time.
The Lazy Actors Podcast is a co-production of theactorsplace.org and radioradio.com.